We've made it this far, huh? Well done. Today we hear, this sacred night, a snapshot of the whole history of our salvation. And in our increasingly secularized and materialistic world, it's increasingly important to remember that the first revelation of our God is Creator. He's Creator of all that is. God made something out of nothing. He creates the raw materials and then step by step brings order to the chaos. Our science and technology doesn't create chaos or even order chaos. Science and technology are only possible because of our Creator God, who's also a God of reason and order. And He creates us in His own image and likeness, precisely so that we can use our reason to come to an ever greater understanding of His order. And here's the point in that: to be glad in it, to rejoice in it, to be thankful to Him for it. It is good and very good for us, His creatures, to delight and marvel at the intricate care and detail of His profound order. It's also important to point out that mankind was created on the sixth day, same day as the other animals. But we were created for the seventh day, the day of worship. When we fail to worship God, then we fall back to become like the beasts. But in turning our minds and our hearts to God, we're raised to the glory of God's own rest. In the second reading, which tradition calls the binding of Isaac, we learn from Abraham, ultimately from the Heavenly Father Himself, how to offer what's most precious to us. Abraham offered Isaac, trusting that God can raise even from the dead. Only in offering the Father everything do we lose nothing. In response to Abraham's offering, God responds with the only divine oath in the whole Bible. "I swear by myself," declares the Lord. No one else higher to swear by, "that in your offspring all the nations on the earth will find blessing." There's nothing Abraham has to fulfill on his part in order to keep that oath, that promise, that blessed to receive that blessing. It's an eternal oath. And it's referenced in the New Testament multiple times, including in the Canticle of Zechariah and in Mary's Magnificat, which the church prays every morning and evening in the Liturgy of the Hours. The oath fulfilled in Jesus, in whom all the nations find blessing. In the third reading, the people are rescued from slavery and death in Egypt for freedom in the Promised Land by the mighty hand of the Lord, who brings us through the waters of baptism, to freedom from sin. How are we using the freedom that Christ has freed us for? It must never be freedom to sin. Bind yourselves against sin. Sin must be behind us, never more in our hearts or our minds. The fourth reading from Isaiah speaks to us of God's own desire for intimacy with us. In Genesis, Adam searches in vain for a suitable partner for himself, for another similar to his own image and likeness, until God gives him Eve. God is also searching for a suitable spouse, the spouse that he created in his own image and likeness so that he could share eternal intimacy with us. Christ has restored that image in us, and in receiving forgiveness, we receive our wedding garment, our restored nature, now made glorious by Christ. The fifth reading, also from Isaiah, who was prophesying the downfall of the Davidic dynasty, says that God wants to make a new and eternal covenant with us. With this covenant, we buy for free refreshing and life-giving water, which are the waters of baptism. We buy for free strength-giving grain, which is the bread of eternal life in the Eucharist. We buy for free wine and milk. Wine is the symbol of joy, and milk is the symbol of the nourishing word of God. Isaiah tells us to buy these without cost. The price has been paid by the sacrifice of Christ. But we still have to come and receive, to drink and eat. We still have to participate in the eternal covenant. The sixth reading from Baruch asks how the people of Israel came to exile, to suffering, and to death. Do we realize how we come to those places as well? And the answer he gives is by forsaking the way of understanding, by rejecting the teaching and the law, the order of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the law of the Lord is a light for our steps. The seventh reading from Ezekiel prophesies that the only way any of us will ever be able to walk in the law of the Lord, in the teaching and wisdom of the Lord, is if he puts his spirit within us. Then and then alone can we have the power to live by his statutes and decrees, to be his people, and to know him as our God. In the reading from Romans, we heard a strange sentence where Paul said, "For a dead person has been absolved from sin." That's you and me. Before Christ and our baptism, all of us were dead because of sin. When the Spirit of Christ is poured into us, we're both absolved from sin and raised to life, the new life of Christ. In the gospel, so I'm almost at the end. In the gospel, the angel, who is like lightning, rolls away the stone and sits on top of that stone to make the Easter proclamation. In the church, the ambo is the rolled away stone from on top of which we proclaim day in and day out that he is risen. The reaction of the women is both fear and joy. The fear of the Lord, the fear is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And the joy is the joy of God's magnificent action in the world, his glorious deeds of power in our lives. The women leave the tomb quickly, immediately, ready to proclaim the Easter message. And here's the supreme takeaway for our lives of faith. We must be equally so obedient, so eager, so bold to proclaim the Easter message. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Have boldness in witnessing to your faith. Faith in the resurrection is what gives us a uniquely Christian faith. Let the Holy Spirit, who raised Christ from the dead, and who fills you and me, Make us bold in witnessing to the Christian faith at home, at work, at school, to the ends of the earth. Christ is risen. And the response is, he is truly risen. Christ is risen.
He is truly risen.
We can do a little better than that. Christ is risen.
He is truly risen.
So here's the homework for the week. Didn't get away without that. Think about the ways that you already give witness to the faith. And think about new ways that you can give witness. Be obedient and bold this week in using the Holy Spirit and the power within you to give witness to the faith.